Okay, let's look at Philemon again. Philemon, only one chapter, but verse 6. We're just going to look again at, if you want a title for tonight, it would be, What Am I Acknowledging? You know, we've been talking so much on and off, interlaced through this, the teachings that I've been doing. Faith has been kind of worked in there, and we've been talking about faith on and off, but you know, it's such an overarching principle, and there's so many important things that we've learned, whether it's here or you've learned from other Bible teachers, if you listen to Word of Faith people. Just there's some pretty bold statements in the Word about faith, like the just shall live by faith, that we should walk by faith and not by sight. One of the ones I love is in Hebrews, where it tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God. Mm-hmm. And so If that's true, if it's impossible to please God without faith, then faith should be a priority, right? I mean, it should be a priority if faith is that important, that it's a life, a pleasing life when we walk in faith. And so it's obviously not just talking about just saying, well, I believe what the Word says, because a lot of Christians believe what the Word says, but there's no there's no evidence of it in their lives. You're just not seeing it walked out. You're not seeing the healing, you're not seeing the financial provision, you're not seeing the, you know, just joy and freedom from cares and all of the kind of things that the world is constantly dealing with, and the church deals with them as well. But we have the victory, or should be walking in the victory. And so a scripture that came to mind as I was thinking about it being impossible to please God without walking in faith is I was thinking about 3 John. And it's a scripture that we so often quote, 3 John 2, where it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But it's interesting how that goes on, what it talks about. He goes on to say, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So here it's telling us again, this is without faith it's impossible to please God. He's saying, I have great joy when I see my church, where there's evidence of walking in the truth in their lives. Our lives should just look different, shouldn't they? I mean, it does not mean that we will not have problems. We have the same problems that the world deals with, the church is going to deal with. We're going to have opportunities to get sick, to have financial challenges, to have marital challenges, to have cares try to come upon us, to see the things that are coming on the earth in the days we're living in, and having care and fear try to come upon us. We have the same opportunities that the world has in all of those things, but we shouldn't allow those things to prevail. Amen? They should not be prevailing in our lives. And so he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And of course, that word walk is a word that we've looked at some time ago in the Word. It's a word that means to conduct your life. So are we conducting our life according to the truth? It means to make your way, to make progress. And so, of course, this is talking about a life that's conformed to who we are in Christ. Are we making progress there? Is there any evidence that in Him we live and move and have our being? Again, we'll face problems, we'll face challenges, but do we know how to negotiate our way out of them? Mm-hmm. By just walking in faith, by walking by faith, by taking God at His word, applying the principles that the Holy Spirit shows us, and walking through the victory that He's already provided. Anything you face, if you're facing a financial challenge, Jesus already acquired the victory for that. Right. A financial problem or a health problem, Jesus already won the victory for us in that. So it's just our learning how to walk through, how to activate those promises in our lives. And it's so much simpler, I think, sometimes than we really make it to. Because we think we have to just focus on and fight for the victory where the victory's already been given to us. And again, that's an acknowledging issue. And so what pleases God is a life that's truth evident. There's evidence of truth in our lives. Our lives don't look like the world's lives. And again, it doesn't mean no problems. And if we do face problems, are we facing them with joy? Doesn't it say in James chapter 1, count it all joy? No, you're not counting it a joy because you're getting nailed.
Right.
You count it joy because you know what the answer is to walking out of that problem. You know, if it's a problem with your kids, you know what God's provision in His Word says about how to deal with that. If it's a problem with your marriage, you know what the Word says, how to walk through that. You can count it all joy because I know how this is going to turn out.
Right.
You ever watched a movie that's a really hard movie? It's a tense movie to watch. Maybe it's a mystery or something like that, and there's some really difficult parts in it that are really scary, and it makes it look questionable how it's going to turn out. But you've seen the movie a dozen times, and you just find yourself just comforting yourself. I know how this is going to turn out, so I'm not sweating it. You know, because I know how this movie is going to turn out. I know the end from the beginning. Well, that's true as a Christian. We know the end from the beginning. Because we know what God promised us. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So, you know, to be all upset during the middle of something, you know, it's hard on our flesh is what it is. It's just hard on your flesh when you're going through a physical challenge, especially if you're enduring some kind of symptoms. That's hard on your flesh. You know, I've been really transparent about what I've been through over the last year or so. But, you know, there's days that I just have physical challenges. I just don't feel tip-top. I don't feel 100%. And I'll tell you what my flesh wants to do. It wants to go lay down on the couch now. And it wants to take a nap. And it wants to rest. And it wants to be pampered. You know, it just wants somebody to feel sorry for it. You know? But, I just don't believe I can afford to do that. You know, and I believe what the Lord told us. He said to resist Satan from the onset, resist those things from the onset. And, you know, sometimes it takes a day, 2 days, even 3 days for me to overcome. You know, that's the hard part. The hard part is that steady, active, persistent pushing back. Why do I continue to push back? Not just that I'm hopeful that things are going to get better. It's because I know they will. But I know that I play a part in it. The outcome of that situation, the natural outcome, I do have a part to play in it.
Yes.
If I just lay down and play dead, guess what? I'll be dead. I'll end up dead. If I just lay down and just, I don't have any part to play in this, we do have a part to play.
Amen.
We do. So, but there's an expression of faith. God's looking for truth-evident lives so that what we say we believe just goes beyond just an acknowledgement that's intellectual. There are people that can quote huge sections of the Bible. It's an intellectual thing. But there's no evidence of it in their lives. We have to move beyond an intellectual acknowledgement of the scriptures to where we're actually experiencing the nitty-gritty of our lives, so where it's actually real. When you speak to a symptom, that symptom is going to go. You know, there's been days I've laid hands on myself and commanded pain to go. You know, and sometimes it goes within a reasonably short amount of time, and sometimes it doesn't. But you know what? You just do it. You do what you know to do. And sometimes I just do it automatically. Other times I wait on God to find out what I should do. But, you know, there needs to be an experience eventually for what we say we believe. If we say, I'm a believer, you know, I love what the Amplified does, because the Amplified extrapolates that and it says to adhere to trust in, to rely on.
Yeah.
Belief is not an intellectual thing. There is a adhering to. There is a relying upon. And so when you find yourself in the middle of something, you rely on God. And I'm not relying that God is going to do something for me. I'm relying on what God's already done. The nature of God is love.
Amen.
And love gives. And God's so lavish in His life. Why? Because He loves humanity. And He wants the very best outcome for humanity. And love gives. Love does not have to be coerced. And that's how a lot of Christians are using their faith, to try to coerce God into loosing something to bless them in some way, or to pour out something on them in some way. You know, what is faith? Faith is a response to what God's already done by grace. And so we don't have to coerce a loving God. He's already given through love. He's already given it through Jesus. And our job is really just to get to a place where we receive. And receive means to take hold of it. Receiving is not passive. It's not a passive thing. It's an aggressive taking hold of the things that God has already provided by grace. So God doesn't have to be coerced. He doesn't have to be talked into blessing us or healing us. it's really just an issue of activating what we know God has already said belongs to us. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that are still in this place where they're thinking they have to just try to convince God to heal them, or convince God to bless them, or convince God to move on their behalf. Now, that's not to say that there isn't a place for that. There is a place where, on behalf of another person who doesn't know any better, we can thank God for moving on their behalf. But for a believer, or someone who knows who they are in Christ, who knows what they are, where they are positionally, it's an issue of just receiving, taking hold of what's already been given to us. So our life should be truth evident. There should be evidence of the truth in our lives if we call ourselves believers. And so what does Philemon here say? All that for that verse. Philemon 1 verse 6, or Philemon verse 6, says, "The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." So as we talked a little bit about this last week, but in order for our faith, we want our faith to become effectual. That's what we've been talking about here. We want our faith to be effective. It means effective or operative. We want it to be activated. We want our faith to be producing in our lives, to be bringing about with the promise that we're basing that faith on. We want it to be effectual. But he tells us how that happens in our lives. It happens by acknowledging some things. And it happens by acknowledging every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. Now, last week we looked at the acknowledging means a recognition or being acquainted with. It's talking about just a kind of knowledge that goes beyond just being acquainted or having a head knowledge. It's also involves like a participation with that knowledge. And so he says the good things, we should be acknowledging the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus. And so again, those in him studies are really, really vital. If we want to have a truth evident life, we should be really well established in him scriptures. Any scripture that talks about in him, through him, by him, by whom, there's so many of them, so many variations of the in him scriptures that we need to become firmly established in. But the question that I want to ask, and that we should all be asking ourselves, is right now in my life, right now, if there's a problem I'm facing, whether it's a career challenge, or a physical challenge, a financial challenge, a marriage challenge, you know, any number of things that assault the human race, what am I acknowledging in the midst of that? What am I acknowledging? Well, most of us don't have any problem with acknowledging all the problems.
That's right.
We don't have any issues with that. It seems like that's just error. There's no effort at all necessary to acknowledge that stuff. It doesn't take much effort to acknowledge that you're in pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain. It doesn't take much effort to acknowledge a financial need or a financial problem. It doesn't take much effort to acknowledge frustration, or if you're frustrated about a situation, or it doesn't take much effort to acknowledge an offense. You know, those things, isn't it amazing how easy those things are to acknowledge? Wow, and it just rolls off the tongue, you know. I'm so blah, 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 or whatever. Or say you're disgusted about something. You know, we're so self-righteous sometimes. So easy to express disgust about things. Those things were, you know, it's just our human nature, the human nature side of us, the flesh side of us, that's very easy, and it requires very little effort to acknowledge the bad things that are going on, whether it's disappointment or lack or, I mean, there's so many things. Injustice of some kind, you know, we might see something, we say, that's just not fair. You ever hear people say that? That's not fair. And it's something in your flesh just likes to be able to say something's not fair. Well, but it doesn't require much, does it? Doesn't require much spiritual strength at all to acknowledge those things. And those things just seem to roll out of our mouths very easily. But I think the reason that it's so easy and the reason that there's not much effort required is because there's so much overwhelming evidence to support those things. It's just overwhelming. The evidence that I'm sick is overwhelming in some cases. And it's so easy to agree with that, isn't it? It's so easy to agree. I'm not confessing this over anybody. I'm just saying, let's just have an honest assessment of these things. naturally speaking, not spiritually speaking, but naturally speaking, there's just an overwhelming amount of evidence to the effect of the things that I've just suggested that we might be acknowledging, the bad things we might be acknowledging. And so often they're based on hard, cold, what look to be facts. You know, you look at your checkbook, or you look at your, or you get up and you have the pain, or you know, there's constant strife in the house, or a child that's gone the wrong way, or whatever. There could be any number of things. It just would be so easy to acknowledge those things because there's all this evidence. But we know, again, with God, it's just like there's always a different way of seeing things. There is more than just natural evidence that we need to consider. And so there's another type of evidence available to us. We know Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so there's an evidence, and the scripture talks a lot about evidence, unseen evidence. You know, even in a natural sense, think of years prior to modern science when bacteria couldn't be seen, and, you know, they talked about these things that were invisible that were causing people to be sick, you know. And then eventually science caught up with things, and they were able to see that these things actually existed. Doctors were told they should wash their hands, you know, from when they went from a patient to another patient so they didn't spread disease, because there was these little invisible things that you could pass from one patient to another. Well, really, there are unseen spiritual realities that are so incredible and so real and so powerful and have the ability to affect us for life or for death. And yet it seems like, because it's effortless and because it doesn't require much of us, it's much, much easier to just look at what can be seen and look at the natural evidence and determine truth by what seems to be natural evidence. So he says here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I just want to spend some time tonight just talking about the evidence, issues of evidence, because depending on what evidence you are conferring with or looking to, that's going to determine the outcome of your situation. If you base everything just on natural, carnal evidence, well, your outcome is probably going to be natural and carnal. If you refuse to be moved by that natural, carnal evidence and know that there's evidence that contradicts that natural evidence, yeah, then your outcome is going to be very different. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, another passage that talks about evidence that isn't so obvious to us. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we look not at the things which are seen, things that could be felt, things that could be seen, heard, smelled, you know, any number of things. We don't look at those things, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, which means subject to change. That's why adhering to natural evidence is so iffy, because it's subject to change.
Right.
You know, have you ever noticed how you think you're going under and the next day you have a complete turnaround and all of a sudden everything's different? That was subject to change, wasn't it? It was totally subject. But the things of God are not subject to change, which this goes on to say. It says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Amplified says, we look not at the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting, and the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. So, you know, the evidence that we need to be basing our health on, our financial well-being on, the wellness of our marriages and our jobs and our emotional health, that evidence can only be found in one place. And it's, of course, we know it's just obvious, it's the Word. But I found today as I was looking at the word evidence, and I actually found a scripture that uses the same Greek word but doesn't translate it evidence. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know, we could probably all quote this scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then it talks about that it's so that the man of God could be thoroughly furnished. But it's interesting today, as I was studying this, I found that the word reproof here is the same word that was translated evidence in Hebrews 11 once. One. So here it's telling us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for evidence. The word is profitable as evidence. So when you need some evidence, the word is profitable for evidence. The word will give us and provide the evidence that we need. Of course, reproof, correction is another aspect of that word, but I've never seen that before, that the word of God is actually profitable as evidence. It's evidence. It's evidence before you can see anything. There's evidence in God's word for the answers that you need. And the word profitable means advantageous. Knowing what the word says gives you an advantage. We have the advantage because we have the word of God. We have an advantage. It also means helpful. So, yes, we can prove natural evidence by consulting our flesh or consulting our bank book. Or consulting the relationship with the person that this relationship is falling apart. Or consult our emotions to see if we're happy, sad, or crazy. Whatever. You know, you can consult all kinds of natural things to try to prove. That's the evidence that we're using to try to prove. But there is evidence that's another kind of evidence that's unseen. And that's the evidence that the Christian life should be based on, is the unseen evidences. They're not seen. They're not felt. It's unfelt. But it will profit you, and it will give you great advantage to do that. I think it's interesting because 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we look not. Yeah. We look not at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are unseen. That's basically telling you stop looking at what you can see. That just sounds crazy, doesn't it? Yep. Stop looking at what you can see. Look at what you can't see. That's foolishness to the carnal person. That's just foolish. That's just foolish to say that. No, the spiritual man doesn't see that as foolish. Because the spiritual man looks at things differently. So that word look means to contemplate or to fix your eye on or to direct your attention to something. You know, when somebody directs your attention to something, it's what they're doing is they're drawing your attention from one thing and they're directing it to another. And that's what the word is telling us here. Get your attention off what you can see and what you can feel and get your attention onto what you can't see, which is the word of God. You can't see it. I mean, yes, you can see the verse, but you can't see the spiritual truths that lie behind that word or that are represented. So we have to ask, are we spending the majority of our time looking at the natural and consulting the natural evidences and aligning our agreement with the natural evidences? Because there are plenty of people that will go, well, I just really don't feel good. I feel really sick. I feel really lousy. Therefore, I must be sick. Or fill in the blank. I mean, we could take that and apply that in any number of ways. But how do we come up with that conclusion? We come up with that conclusion by consulting our flesh. Remember, we're not supposed to consult our flesh to determine what the truth is.
That's right.
Because your flesh will not tell you you're healed. Your flesh will not tell you that your needs are met. Your flesh will not tell you that you have the joy of the Lord. It will not ever tell you that. It just, I mean, there's a superficial form of that we call happiness, but it's like dirt compared to gold. You know, joy can't be affected by circumstantial things. And so, you know, as long as you're consulting your flesh to determine what the truth is and looking to that as your evidence, then you'll just agree with the natural. You'll always just keep agreeing with the natural. And this is a challenge every single day. I'm not saying you're ever going to get to where you have complete victory in this. Because I know these things, and I still have to fight this fight. There isn't a day today was a good day. It was no pain today. No pain of any kind today. It was a good day. But I think I was in the Word all day, too. And, that, you know, it's amazing your mind gets off meditating on just the Word, the Word, the Word. But then there's another day where from the time I get up through the day, there's just all kinds of aches and pains and twinges and all kinds of things that you could come to a conclusion about so easily because of looking at it and considering it and allowing that natural evidence to help you draw some kind of conclusion. And it's work. isn't it? It's work to look not at that. It is work. It's a challenge. It's not easy. It's a challenge to go back to the Word and say, no, this is what I believe. This is the truth. This is my truth. This is the evidence that I'm going to choose to base my reality on. And so there's just that natural evidence. It's just one kind of evidence. And I was thinking today about, you know, in a court case, both sides of this case will provide some kind of evidence. And we were talking about it today. I'm not a lawyer, so, you know, if I say something wrong here, just forgive me right now ahead of time. But, you know, there's circumstantial evidence. And then there's direct evidence. And the judge determines what evidence is admissible. You know, the judge will go, no, we're throwing that out. Sometimes I'll have circumstantial evidence that makes it look like this is true. Well, most believers are dealing with circumstantial evidence. Yeah, your body hurts, that's circumstantial evidence. You know? Or your checkbook is at zero in the negative, that's circumstantial evidence. Or your marriage looks like it's falling apart, you're in strife with your spouse, or your career looks like it's over. Those are all circumstantial things, right? But God doesn't base the outcomes of our lives on circumstantial evidence. He doesn't deal with circumstantial evidence. He throws circumstantial evidence out. He's the one who determines what's admissible and what's going to be allowed to determine the outcome of that case. And so when I was thinking about that, I was drawn to a passage of scripture that I thought a lot about over the last months. And I've incorporated it into my confession time many, many days. But both in Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says something, and the Amplified, you have to read the Amplified to get the full impact of this. In Matthew 16, when he's talking to Peter after Peter has the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus says in verse 18, he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you will bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you will loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." But listen to the Amplified here. It says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven." So there is already, the case has already been tried, and would be the word when the case is completely,
the verdict,
whatever. But there's legal precedent. There's legal precedent that there are certain things that are lawful and there are certain things that are unlawful. Sickness is never lawful in heaven. Ever.
Amen.
Having your finances stripped away or going through dire financial circumstances is never lawful. Why? Because it's not lawful in heaven.
That's right.
It says it has to be lawful in heaven. So for the people who want to say, well, God's using this sickness, you know, they don't know what's lawful in heaven. If they're saying God is going to use that to strengthen you, you know, you're like a little tree in the storm and you're just being strengthened by this adversity, that's not lawful in heaven. What's lawful in heaven is the fact that Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, it's already a finished deal. The covenant that God made with Jesus that we are so blessed to be partakers of, joint heirs with, there is all kinds of provision, all the wonderful, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. So any promise that was ever made to anyone in the scripture in Christ is yes. That means we don't have to go and say, well, God, can I have this, or can I be a partaker of this, or can I enjoy this? He'd say, well, of course. Yeah, it's yes and amen in Christ. Right. If you're in Christ, it's yes and amen to you. And so that's evidence. That's the lawful side of it. So oftentimes when I'm going through my own personal devotional time, I'll just say, you know what, cancer, you're not lawful in heaven. Therefore, you're not lawful on this earth.
Yeah.
Amen. You're not lawful in my body. Amen. Because you're not lawful in heaven. In fact, you're unlawful in heaven. Therefore, you're unlawful here. You have no right.
That's right.
And sometimes you just have to be that bold. You have to be that bold. You have to talk to your finances. Is it lawful for financial lack? No. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health.
Amen.
Even as your soul prospers. So you have to declare what's lawful. He's telling us here, you find out what's lawful. That's your evidence. And then you declare that to be lawful on the earth. And you find out what's unlawful, and you declare that to be unlawful. Based on what? The evidence of God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for evidence. We have ample evidence in the word of God to declare what's lawful and what's unlawful. And then again, it's the same principle, the same thought is repeated in Matthew 18, in verse 18:18, it says, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So as if we were in a natural court of law, that judge would say, no, there's nothing in legal precedent. There's nothing in our law, our constitution, that backs up what you're trying to say here. It's unlawful. Throw that out. That evidence is not admissible. And so we have to get to the place where we're not determining the condition and state of our health based on that evidence, because that's inadmissible evidence.
That's right.
It's only circumstantial. And sometimes circumstantial evidence is allowed in a court of law. But the judge determines that. You know what? Our judge is never going to allow circumstantial evidence. He's never going to. He's going to only allow evidence that's in line and keeping with his word. And so that's why, again, we should never approach these things that we're facing in life with any kind of fear or wondering or questioning or uncertainty. And yes, those symptoms, category they fall under, may seem to be prolonged sometime. But you know what? We know what the end of the story is. Like I said, if you've seen a movie before and you know it gets kind of scary in the middle of the movie, but you know how it turns out, so you just ride right through that scary part. Well, you know what? There's some scary things we face sometimes in life. You should be able to ride right through them because we know that this is the victory that overcomes.
Amen.
It's our faith, and it's because Jesus has already conquered and faced those things on our behalf. And so what are you using as the evidence to base your acknowledgement on? What are you acknowledging? He says the communication of your faith becomes effective. Your faith can only be effective when you're acknowledging the right evidence. You have to acknowledge the right evidence. Mm-hmm. Whether the natural says or agrees to it or not, because I'll tell you, your natural evidence will never will agree with the word. You know, until your natural evidence or your natural circumstances have aligned with the word, have finally come into alignment with it. There's a scripture in Romans. I'm not going to share it too much longer here, but there's a scripture. I say that every week, and then I keep going. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So it's easy for a person who's I hate to use this term, but it's what the word says, is a carnal Christian. Carnal Christians are moved by what they feel. And how can you tell? Because it governs what they think, say, and do. I don't feel good. I just don't feel good. So blah, 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 blah. It governs what they think, say, and do. But it says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So, you know, to expect your carnal mind to grasp the things of God and go, yahoo, I'm on board. It says it can't be. Your carnal mind cannot, until the mind gets renewed and there's enlightenment by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be difficult to understand these things. How can I say that I'm healed when I'm so sick? And the doctor says this. Or how can I say that I'm blessed when everything in the natural points? That's foolishness to a carnally minded person. And even after they hear these truths and these principles, they'll continue to talk that way anyway. That's what'll come out of their mouths. That's what's going to govern their steps. They're carnal. That doesn't mean they're bad. Okay? They're just flesh ruled. The mind of the flesh rules them. Those things are more real to them. They've chosen to align their lives, their choices, their thoughts with natural carnal evidence. And so, of course, it says that the end of that is death. That doesn't mean necessarily physical death, but it just means separation from all the life that God said He's already provided for us. So, I mean, these things are serious things. You know, I hear, and if you've ever said this, please forgive me, I'm not picking on you. But I hear this so often, people. I'm allergic to blah, blah, blah. 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 And you say, well, you know, you need to start resisting that. Because if you can't resist being allergic to blah, blah, blah.
Which is really dangerous, by the way. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah is a serious thing. If you can't resist the blah, 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 then how are you going to resist? It's like what John George said last week. You have to, by resisting the whatever, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
you're building spiritual muscle.
True.
You're building resistance into yourself. You're building the ability to stand against things. And there's so many Christians that just cave in to, I'm allergic to this and I'm allergic to that. And we hear this so often from people. And you know what it's doing? It's controlling their lives. They can't go certain places or do certain things because of all these allergies and things they're dealing with. No. They might say, well, I can't help that. I was born with that. Well, you know, you might have been born with a congenital disease. Does that mean you're going to put up with it just because you were born with it? No, we need to resist all manifestations of the enemy.
That's right.
I know Dora and Bernard came to our house for dinner one night, and I don't remember what it was. I think I asked Dora, I said, I hope you guys aren't allergic to cats, because I hear that all the time. Oh, I'm allergic to cats. I can't come to your house because I'm allergic to cats. And Dora looked at me like I'd sworn at her. It was like, we're not allergic to anything. And Bob, I forget how she said it, but it was like so refreshing to hear somebody so bold in their confession about we don't accept any allergies or how she said, I was just so blessed to hear that, because that's how we should be governing our lives. Now, that is not to say that if you have an allergy to an animal or something like that, you should just go rub your face in them, you know. That would be like the person who's got diabetes, they just decide they're going to stop taking insulin, you know. But, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. This is really interesting to me, but I have an unsaved relative who back a few years ago was so allergic to cats that their eyes would swell closed, and they actually had to go to the emergency room. That's how bad their allergy was. And you know what they did? They moved to a place where they had like a small hobby farm, and there were cats on their property, you know, mousers. And they slowly became acclimated to that animal, and now they can be right with the cats, touch the cats, hold the cats, and everything, and that allergy has been confronted. It's been dealt with. So, in a sense, they resisted it. They allowed that, you know, that into their system, you know, enough to just continually deal with it, and they were resisting it in a sense. And yet, I hear so many people. This is an evidence they don't want to deny. They want to embrace the evidence that they have all these issues in their lives. And I just think, my concern for a person like that is, what are they going to do if, I hate to say when, but I could say when, something much more serious presents itself in their lives. How they haven't exercised those muscles to stand against something simple, something small. Now, to them, it might not be small. So, again, I'm not criticizing people. I just, you know, we just hear so much of this from the body of Christ. If you're not resisting it, if you're not building some spiritual muscle or some spiritual fortitude in that area, it's going to be hard. How can we just choose all of a sudden now, oh, no, but in this case, I'm going to resist this. In this case, I'm healed. Again, it's evidences. You know, you can't accept natural evidence in some cases and then refuse it in others. We have to get after this. We have to decide, what evidence am I going to live my life by? And, it's unscriptural evidence is what they're accepting. They're accepting an unscriptural evidence. If they have a physical symptom of some kind, they come to the conclusion that they're sick. If they're being challenged financially, they come to the conclusion that they're broke. And we just hear this language so often, and it's time for the body of Christ, believers, to start acting like believers and talking like believers and governing their lives like believers. We say we believe it, and yet so often we'll say, yes, I believe what the Word says. I do acknowledge the Word says these wonderful things, but they're still identifying with the natural evidence. Because that's what's governing their behavior. That's what's governing what comes out of their mouths. And that's what's governing the steps they're taking. You know, there's just, we could just go on and on and on and on with this. And it's very easy to tell when somebody is living that kind of life because it's governing them. What's coming out of their mouths? What are they speaking? What are they saying? What are they acting on? It's very easy to look at what people say they believe something, but you know what they really believe in is what they're living out, what's being actually lived out in their lives. And so, we could go on and on and on and on with scriptures about this. I've got quite a bit more, but I don't want to go way past my time again like I've been doing. It's so easy to do. So we'll just cut it off there tonight. Does anybody have anything that they...